Welcome back, Mike Warren Thomas with For Love of Food, SaverLife.com, and it's an exciting time of the year. I mentioned in the previous show and the gardening show that ramps are now starting to appear. These are the wild leeks, onions that are foraged, and you may start to see them at farmers markets. I don't know if they're ever found at the grocery stores. I think partly just because the quantities are so limited, they're a crop that is very difficult for farmers to try to plant and sort of tend and grow. What usually happens is that farmers forage them from their own properties, their own woods, and bring those to market. They are kind of a fickle and finicky thing to try to grow. Although a friend of mine used some ramps in cooking last year, cut the roots off and put that little root stub kind of in the ground, and they grew. Now he's got more coming up this year than last year. So he must have found the ideal location for them. I have not been successful in trying to grow them myself. So, but it's kind of an exciting thing for chefs to see the ramps come in. It's the first green of the season, and dandelion greens, and it's the start of really the local produce. And asparagus won't be far behind, although it's at least 3 weeks from now, 4 weeks, and it's going to be May before we see asparagus. But that's relatively close after so many months of having snow and cold. Some of these things are starting to grow, and given how early a lot of these magnolias and cherries and other things are blooming, the asparagus may also be quite early. It's going to be interesting to see. And I didn't mention asparagus during the gardening show, but if you want to grow your own asparagus, you need to plan ahead, and I mean way ahead. It's about a 3-year process before you can harvest your own asparagus. So you got to plant the roots, which you could do this spring. It will come up and you'll see the asparagus spears, because you got to leave them. You can't cut them because they need to generate more significant root systems. So you have to let them grow out, and they get these, maybe you've purchased asparagus ferns as a tropical plant. I mean, it's kind of what they look like. They get quite tall. They can get 4 or 5 feet tall, maybe even 6 feet tall. Incredibly ferny foliage. Sometimes little red berries on them. To grow them from seed is going to take a very long time, because when you buy the root system, that root system has been growing for probably a division, and it's been growing for I don't know, it's got to be at least 2 or 3 years before you buy it. So to grow them from seed is not really viable. But you've got to let this happen for 2 or 3 years. Certainly the first year, the second year, maybe the third year, if you're getting a lot more spears, you can cut a few. And then after that, then you can cut quite a few. But that's really like 4 years down the road. So plan ahead if you want your own asparagus. It also takes up a lot of space. So I had some in our garden just for fun for a few years. And they shade out other things. They get huge, and so you can't really grow a lot of other things with them. And then I had a bunch of yellow jackets build a nest down in the ground where the asparagus roots were, and that kind of put an end to the asparagus in my yard. But I just don't have room for it in a city property, so. I appreciate the farmers who grow it, and be looking forward to buying local asparagus here in the near future. I generally avoid asparagus the rest of the year, and I just go a little crazy in May and June eating lots and lots of asparagus. So again, that's not available yet. Ramps are the first thing, and really the first local product is maple syrup, because that starts flowing in February and is done by now because of the warm weather. Generally ends sometime in March. So look for local maple syrup. I'm pretty sure Walsh Legals will be at the Brighton Farmers Market tomorrow. And they're down near Naples if you want to go visit them and buy. They have a really very nice retail shop. And you can see the lines in the trees right there around them. And it's not that far from Fruition Seeds. I don't know. I haven't combined my visit to go to both of them, but so probably within 15 minutes of each other, I'm guessing. Again, Walsh Legals probably at the Brighton Farmers Market tomorrow. And so local maple syrup, really the first product of the new spring, because that's what the trees are doing. They're pushing the sap, getting ready for spring. It is one of the first signs of spring. So I hope you can get to the Brighton Farmers Market tomorrow. I think some of the vendors are still doing pre-orders if you want to do that. That may not really get rolling for another couple of weeks because this is just the first week of the Brighton Market. Looks like decent weather, certainly not really April weather tomorrow. Today's like June. Tomorrow, there will probably be some rain, but it's going to be 63. So, umbrella and 63, that's just a nice spring day. It's going to smell like spring. You're going to smell the earth on days like that. So at 10 to noon tomorrow, the Brighton Farmers Market. And if you hear about things going on in the food world, email me, michael@saverlife.com. This warm weather has allowed more outdoor dining, and it's going to stay relatively mild, upper 50s, near 60 over the next 10 days. So places that have cover may still be able to offer outdoor dining. Again, above normal temperatures. I was talking to Vinny Alaperti from Billsboro Winery, and they are in final stages of putting up a pavilion. In the past, they've just had umbrellas for their pizza on the patio that they do in the summers, and now they're going to have it's an open pavilion. So can't wait to see that. Also, a number of the wineries have been investing in projects. Fox Run and Glenora have put up new or expanded decks, again, for more outdoor seating and also just for the view. There's some incredible views as you look out on Seneca Lake. So, and those are just a couple of the wineries. Weiss Vineyards on Cuca Lake is putting up a new production building, that's going to be nearing completion fairly soon, probably, or at least the exterior. And it's a gorgeous time to drive around the countryside. Forsythia is starting to bloom. The shad trees, which are native, and the wild cherries, those will be blooming white in the woods. They're starting to bloom here in Rochester, probably starting soon. I usually see a lot of them driving down to Cuca Lake through Prattsburg. That's a pretty way to go. And if you go down, maybe Route 21 to Naples, there's some beautiful wooded areas that have shad trees in them. Again, just small favorite trees. And they'll produce berries later in the season, June berries, which are really delicious, like blueberries. So if you're looking to plant a small tree in your yard this spring, just because you want maybe something that's edible and native and, you know, a little bit of shade. They don't get that big. This and fall color, the shad trees are a great choice and really pretty easily available at our local nurseries. Either multi-trunk or single-trunk options for the service berry. And if you want to grow them to eat them, you may want to do a little more research and try to find some varieties online, perhaps, that are bred and sold for producing June berries. Farms are starting to grow them, and so we'll start to see them more, I think, at farmers markets available in June. They're also called June berries. And so those are bigger, more prolific than the native shad or service berry. It's also called shad blow because they bloom when the shad runs, the fish run in the streams. So it's a great sign of spring and a wonderful tree to have in your yard. Now the robins will eat many of those berries, if not most of them, but they generally don't get all of them, and they are really delicious berries. So if you want details on anything you hear me mention, you can email me, michael@saverlife.com. And as far as I know, there aren't any local sources of the shad or service berries that are grown for production. So that's why I'm suggesting mail order. But some of the nurseries, you know, Sarah's Garden Center carries quite a nice selection of blueberries and raspberries and blackberries, many of those dwarf varieties, some without thorns. So as I said it during the gardening show this morning, I'm hoping people will grow more edible things in their yards this year. Less lawn, more productive space, even if it's for the birds to eat. And so I'll look when I go out to Sarah's this week. I'll be out there, if not tomorrow, early this week, and see whether they might bring in any of these special shad trees. But they do have a lot of other fruits that are available, and they're more compact to grow, these newer varieties. So, you know, raspberries and blackberries are notorious for just taking over a yard and growing everywhere. These newer varieties, more compact and easier to deal with. So, and really, raspberries are one of those crops where, you know, you can find them at local farm markets, and they do a great job with them, but they are perishable. So, you know, you've got to eat them within a day, often. Not the ones you get at the grocery store, the Driscolls or whatever. Those last a long time, which, you know, it's a different raspberry. It's and I just don't have the flavor of the local raspberries that are so perishable. So you're giving up a lot of flavor. They look good, the ones you get at the store all winter long, all year round. They even sell them during the season when real raspberries are available. And yeah, I guess some people maybe like them better, like them because they last longer. You can keep them for a couple of weeks in the refrigerator, it seems like, when we've had them a few times. But the local raspberries are just so much flavor. And plant a couple. Try them out. See, they're not expensive. Sarah's has the best selection I've seen anywhere of them. They're in Brockport. My original sponsor for my gardening show 27 years ago. Sarah's Garden Center, and it remains a favorite place. It's one of the premier garden centers in our region. I call them destination garden centers. So later on this evening, we're going to have a summer meal because it feels like summer today. It's going to be up near 80 in Rochester, and pesto is on the menu. Of course, that's not from basil we're growing in our garden yet. Way too early to plant that. But so we froze it last fall, late summer, harvested a lot of basil, pureed it in olive oil and froze it. And so we're going to have a summer meal of pesto tonight, and very excited about that. It freezes so well. And also discovered we had a few more jars of pesto than I realized in our freezer. So we got to eat them, because the next month and a half, till we can get basil outside and growing well enough to harvest, we've got to use up our frozen pesto. So we don't even add nuts or cheese or anything until we make it. We just puree the leaves with lots of olive oil, and put that in little mason jars in the freezer, and it is almost as good as fresh pesto. It freezes that well if you use the olive oil. So it's time to use up some of those things. I also have a batch of rhubarb in the freezer. It's time to get that out and use it, because the rhubarb is starting to grow, and I'll be able to have fresh rhubarb here soon. And one of the things that reminded me of the rhubarb was that I just took a apple raspberry pie out of the freezer that I'd gotten from Herd Orchards in December, and baked that a couple days ago. And then that was such an extraordinary pie. But it always, you know, sort of cooks over and spills out somewhat when you bake them. And so I used a big Pyrex container. Normally I'd use a cookie sheet, but I thought I would try to kind of save the juice that cooks out. And it was a brilliant idea, because I got this layer of kind of caramelized juice that was in the Pyrex container, and one corner of it that got a little more cooked than others had really just cooked to a molasses, almost even beyond molasses, almost a candy. Also, it was quite hard or chewy, and like chewy, like a very chewy caramel, and the flavor of that was just phenomenal. Allen's Hill Farm, I think it was Allen's Hill Farm, it had an apple cider molasses, and don't know if that's still available. I think they've moved, actually. I think I saw a Facebook post that they had moved or were moving, but they used to make a local apple cider molasses, which was outrageously good. And I don't know that it's still available, or if anyone else is doing that. So if you run into an apple cider molasses, let me know. I'm guessing some of the apple mills will do it. If they don't already, I'll have to ask at Schutz. Maybe that's an excuse to go to Schutz and get some more fried cakes. I was talking about them on the gardening show. Love their cinnamon sugar fried cakes. And, you know, I could call them and ask them, but, you know, it really would be much more fun to go over and get some, a couple of cinnamon sugar fried cakes, and some Empire apples. I've been getting some Empire apples from them this winter, and the Empire is an old variety. It's, you know, there are lots of other newer varieties, but it holds its crunch and flavor and freshness really, really well in storage. So they have a number of varieties of apples at Schutz that they store in temperature, humidity controlled storage, which is very cold, and really keeps the apples almost like they're right off the tree, and become spoiled by those. It's hard to just get apples that, you know, that haven't been stored that way, this time of the year. And so I should try some other varieties, but I really get hooked on these Empires. Not as sweet as some of the newer varieties, I kind of like that. So it's sort of like sweet corn. Some of the newest varieties, they're making them so sweet that you're losing some of the apple flavor, I think. But try a bunch of different apples. You can buy them by the pound there, and do some experimenting. But the empires are the ones that I get hooked on for the winter and spring seasons. And if you run into some great food, great produce, great recipes, have some great food in a restaurant or takeout, email me and let me know, michael@saverlife.com. Always great to hear from listeners, and also it gives me places to go in search of. And with this beautiful weather, if you want to take some road trips and things, happy to give you some ideas. Place I'm planning to go in the near future is Corning, where Christopher Bates of FLX Table and FLX Wienery has opened Quincy Exchange restaurant, as well as a second version of his Provisions Wine Shop on Main Street in Corning. Old bank location that they've redone, which is stunning. And really, you can get to Corning maybe an hour and 45 minutes, maybe a little less, 390 South, and then cut across the 87 or 86, I don't know, the highway that goes east and west to Corning. Or you can go down, you know, through Seneca Lake and Watkins Glen and Montour Falls, or Cuca Lake and Hammondsport and Bath. Those are beautiful ways to go down to Corning. And of course, lots of wineries and breweries and places to visit on your travels. And just a couple nights ago, I was enjoying a couple of the grape juices from Fulkerson's. You may not realize it if you haven't been to Fulkerson's. Actually, discovered fairly recently, a couple months ago, that they are producing grape juices. The different varieties of grape juice in individual bottles, which I've been asking them about and hoping for probably a decade. And I'm guessing one of the reasons they did this was the pandemic and the fact that they had fewer customers and they had just as much juice as they always have. And so I'm hoping that this becomes so popular that they have to continue doing it. Because you can go down, you can buy about a dozen, maybe 15 different grape juices in individual bottles, some of which you'll recognize, Riesling, Chardonnay, Merlot, but also some less expensive ones that you may not have heard of, the French-American hybrids like Dishonac and Himrod and Diamond. And these are extraordinary grape juices. And though they're a couple dollars less than the vinifera, which I think the vinifera are probably a great bargain at Fulkerson's in these grape juice containers, because when you buy the juice in bulk, the vinifera grapes are like three times or more than the French American hybrids. You know, the French American hybrids might be $6. You know, Catawba. Vidal, there's a lot of different ones, but that might be $6 a gallon, and then the Rieslings and Cabernets are like $18 a gallon when you buy them in the fall when they're pressed. So this is the first time I've seen these grape juices available, again, as individual varieties. They taste, not surprisingly, quite different. They've been pasteurized and are shelf stable. So I bought a bunch of them and been drinking them over the last 2 months since I discovered this. And I actually found out because I was at Fox Run Vineyards in the late fall, early winter, and saw this jar of Riesling juice in their case. And it doesn't need to be kept cold, I think. I'm not sure if whether it was in the cooler case or whether it wasn't, but it doesn't need to be until you open it. And I was asking Fox Run about it, and it was, you could tell from the labels from Fulkerson's, and they said that Fulkerson's had lots more different varieties, and so wasn't planning to stop at Fulkerson's that day, but had to stop and, again, got probably had about 20 bottles. And they had several apple varieties also, including Empire, that were pressed and made into juice by apple variety, which, you know, other than Honeycrisp, you don't really see apple juice. Well, Fuji, Red Jacket does Fuji juice and Honeycrisp, but you don't usually see the other varieties. And they had three or four. So again, none of these have any alcohol in them. They are pasteurized and kind of a single serving jars, although that's a lot of sugar for one serving. And these juices, you know, they're pasteurizing and selling, they're not watering them down at all. And often when I drink them, I'll add, you know, maybe one quarter water or sparkling water to them just to make them a little less intense, the sweetness. And so you still might want to do that. Taste them, and you know, it varies from variety to variety, and it varies from year to year how sweet they are. So that's the fun of it. And so I hope by promoting it, and I think they'll ship them too, but I hope by promoting the fact that they have these available that they'll continue doing this, because it's a great non-alcoholic option for people, for kids, for one who's pregnant, for someone who's taking medicine, for someone who's driving. And I've promoted people going down in the fall and freezing the half gallons or gallons that you can buy when the Randall Standish and Fulkerson's are pressing juice. But it was really not available after that. It was for a few weeks in the fall, and now available year round till they, you know, start to run out of what they bottled from Fulkerson's. So it's about an hour and a half south of Rochester to get to Fulkerson's. It's just after Glenora, another great place to visit, which is just after FLX Wienery. If you haven't visited there, it's midway down Seneca Lake. And the Spotted Duck is also nearby. That's not on 14. It's just off of 14 on the way up to Penyan, but very close to Seneca Lake. I don't think they're open for the season yet, but they will be opening fairly soon, I think. The ice cream stand that does some of the most creative varieties of ice cream, using duck eggs for the ice cream, which they are slightly different texture maybe, and a really intense flavor. You wouldn't, if you tasted their ice cream, you wouldn't say, are there duck eggs in here? You wouldn't notice that. But there's a reason they use them. They think it makes a better ice cream, and it's hard to argue. It's fantastic ice cream. So also, speaking of ice cream, I saw in abundance that they had lavender ice cream from Eat Me, a local ice cream producer here in Rochester that does some very creative varieties, many of them dairy-free. They have a delicious sort of double chocolate dairy-free. I also saw, I've gotten it in abundance. The lavender is, lavender is an intense fragrance. If you go out and pinch a leaf on your lavender, it's kind of like rosemary. It's very pungent. Eat Me does a really subtly done lavender that I think you may fall in love with. It is really a delicious and unusual ice cream. And they sell them in fairly small pints, so you know, it's not a big investment to try it. But should get some at Abundance. Or Eat Me Ice Cream also has some retail hours. They're in the Hungerford building on Fridays, Saturdays, or weekends. You have to check their website to be sure. So if you run into things like that, send me an email, michael@saverlife.com. We'll be back with Discover the Finger Lakes, and then tomorrow it's the Grapevine here at saverlife.com. Hope you enjoy this beautiful day, and a happy spring.